you might not be as captivated as I am about the billionaire space race, but I just think it's really interesting. If you don't know what I'm talking about, here's a little synopsis that I pulled off of CNN. Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, and Richard Branson, who have a combined net worth of $400 billion, roughly the size of the GDP of the whole nation of Ireland, all three men have decided to sink vast sums of money into chasing space travel dreams, into creating this modern space race in which the ultra rich, rather than countries, shoot for the stars, meaning where they can colonize Mars, was the latest thing that I think Elon Musk mentioned. But it's not just billionaires, right, that are searching for the next thing or the next white pearl or blue pearl or the next, you fill in the blank in your own life. We're all chasing for something new, pushing ourselves for some sort of achievement or some sort of goal. It's part and parcel to our human existence. And in our age of social media, it's completely interconnected. It seems like it's all on steroids, right? I mean, that the world's become like monopoly money in this sense, or monopoly sized achievements. Think about it. We don't just run marathons anymore, right? We run ultra marathons. You don't just go for like a little bike ride. I was on a vacation and I was so proud of like my 25-mile bike ride. See, I just did a nice little humble brag there. I was so proud of like the little loop I would go on. And I met a friend from college. I officiated her wedding. She's a dear friend. And I was talking to her husband. I was like, so you like to ride bikes too? And he goes, yeah. I go, where do you go? And he goes, I go to Bourne. Well, that's 35 miles round trip. And I was like, you do on the bike path? And he goes, no, I don't ride on that. It's too flat. He's like, where do you ride? And I'm like, bike path to the end and back, where it's flat. And he goes, I have to stop there. And anyway, but you get my point, right? It's there's just a ratcheting up at all times. We don't just eat well on certain days of the week. We eat, you know, rare micro grown beef where people have petted the cows and, you know, perfectly aged it, right? Everything's got this intensity to it. And it all feeds into these base human instincts, these base human instincts of achievement, of accumulation, of control is layered into this. The sort of other side, which is to run away, right? The sort of fight side of this instinct is to, you know, raise the level, not just run 26 miles, but run a 100-mile marathon. But the other way is to be like, I'm not ever running, and to run away from everything. That would be sort of the flight. We're all in either of these categories. We all are. And many times, if you're like me, you may be in these categories in the same hour, right? Like 1 minute, you're like, I'm gluten. Did y'all know I'm gluten-free? I let everybody know that. I'm gluten-free. But then I have no problem about like sucking down a gin and tonic at 5 o'clock or something. I mean, I'm not healthy. Just to haven't drunk beer in over a year doesn't mean I don't have an alcoholic drink, right? I mean, so we're all in this sort of camp. And these achievements and goals and the language that we use around them perfectly encapsulate something that some of us have talked about before. My friend David Zoll, who wrote the book Seculosity, talks about how we've started to use the grammar of religion around all of our activities, the grammar of religion around all things that we try to achieve or accomplish. And you could just see this in two ways last week in the New York Times. The first is, did you know you can't just go to a sauna and sweat? No, it's actually a full-on religious experience, where you have sweaty missionaries, they're called, and you have Osgus masters. I'm not making this up. This is, you can Google it. And when you go in, you're welcomed into a ceremony where you all purify your body and you achieve a goal of a healthy body and mind. Now, I love the sauna, but when this line, I read this, it just blew me away. One attendee said, the mesmerizing towel work this seems to be the crux of the ceremony, just left me starstruck.
The what? What is he talking about? Anyway, but I mean, that could sound like, I mean, you hope, you love somebody to say that about coming to church, you know, like
the way that Bruce brought the cross in mesmerized me.
It did. It was perfect, Bruce.
But, you know, all these, so you see where you're starting to bring in, right, religious language, this sort of transcendental idea into just going to the sauna. Like, what happened to just going to the sauna? Because it feels good. I mean, I like it. But just go to the sauna. But in other words, it starts to feed into these then goals or of a healthy life or of a better fit body or of more mental clarity. Things that underneath them all, and David, my friend David Zoll was so clear in this in Seculosity, and underneath it all is this longing for something to tell us that we're good enough. Enoughness is the word that he created. Something that says you're there. Your body's perfect where you are. You've accomplished your goal. You are enough. So it's underneath all of this. Now, it can get even more wacky than just the sauna. I'm going to talk about Garden House, which is at 8600 Wilshire Drive in Beverly Hills, where there is now, and I quote, a monthly spiritual experience on site that tracks with all the lunar cycles. Come and release your inner self, it says, and connect in with others as you increase your mental acuity and your spiritual well-being. These spiritual concierge can be had in Beverly Hills for $25,000 a year. Well, I mean, talk about a tithing program or something there. I mean, that just seems like I'll be a spiritual concierge. But wow, right? I mean, I didn't make any of that. That's not out of the onion, right? I mean, some people say the New York Times can be like the onion, but that's not out of the onion. I mean, that was an article in the Sunday Style section 2 weeks ago in the New York Times about spiritual concierge is part and parcel to the modern apartment buildings. Now, I'm all for betterment of body and mind, right? I'm gluten-free. I got my card to show for it. See my therapist. I mean, none of these things are bad in and of themselves. They're bad when they begin to take over our life and drive that question or the answer to the question of, am I enough? Because ultimately, at that point, it comes back to how many lunar cycles have you prayed for? Ultimately, in other words, it comes back to what you've been doing. What you've been doing. How many sweating ceremonies have you achieved? How many 100-mile runs have you gone on? Or how many rare African beans do you eat for your health, et cetera, right? It's about what you've done. And it feeds into this, our hardwiredness for control, our hardwiredness for achievement. We're talking about this in a incredible adult ed this morning that Ryan led. Like when we think about rest, why that's such an important aspect of our sort of spiritual life is because when we truly rest, we give up control. We let go, in other words. And for many of us, that is a really hard, well, for all of us, that is a really hard thing to do, right? Even if we do it for a second or 10 minutes, phone rings, your neighbor calls, the dogs bark, you name it, and you're sort of snapped into it, and you're into this mode of productivity and achievement, our hardwiredness. And, you know, I just to state the obvious, achievement and goals aren't bad. I mean, I ask my kids what their goals are, right, in and of themselves. But again, when it becomes the sole answer to this question of am I enough? Then you're starting to play with really dangerous stuff. Really dangerous stuff. And one of the incredible gifts of Holy Scripture is that Holy Scripture reminds us that we're not unique. Now, we are unique individuals, yes, but our DNA, our humanness, our anthropology is not unique. And what we read today in the Gospel of John reminds us that people have been achievement-focused and goal-focused for years, centuries, for millennia, since we were created, in other words. We are after the very thing we can control, the achievement, the goal, the knowledge, the health, whatever it might be. We see it today in the people that have just eaten their fill at the 5,000, the thongs, the crowds, and they were following Jesus. And they're like, where is he? We need more of that output, right? Because notice their conversation with Jesus. It's about the things. It's about the bread. Where are the things? Show us the signs. Show us the things. In other words, they had billionaire equivalents back in first century Palestine. They were just figuring out trade routes to Asia. I'm sure they had sweat lodges. They just called them miracle healings or witch doctors. So in other words, they were longing for that same question, something to tell them that they were enough. Something to tell them that they were enough. And so that's what's so powerful about the conversation that Jesus has with the crowd today. Because as they gravitate towards show us the signs like our ancestors showed us, when they say, give us, in other words, the sign that we are enough, he unpacks this. And he says, it's not the signs. It's not the works. The crux of the gospel is that it's Jesus in the middle. It's not the output. It is the person. In other words, Jesus has zero sense in cultivating achievements or duty or goals. Instead, he's looking to redirect the whole entire conversation and tear it all down and create something new. Going back to the ancestors and reminding the crowd that it wasn't Moses who delivered the bread from heaven, but it was God's provision. He brings out what you call the boom. That it's not human achievement that pulls us forward. It's not your works that save you. It's not how many good, healthy beans you eat or how much gluten-free you are. It's not your 10-point plans or your struggles, your strategies, I mean, or your 100-mile runs. But it is God's provision for your life when he tells us that I am the bread of life. Jesus says it's not a work or a collection of things, but it's himself. And his work is so counter to the way that our hardwired nature works that news still blows us away. Because think about it, all this conversation today is about achievement, about sweat lodges and forms and ceremonies, building things. Achieving things. What's Jesus do? He gives it all up. He dies on the cross for you and for me. Let's it all go. In other words, he believes that we are that enough, that our enoughness is that real in the eyes of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that he will give up his life so that we might know that we are enough. Amen. Amen.